Ari, what a great time of worship tonight. Thank you all. Thank you, thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Before we dive in, again, just a couple reminders. Women of the Oasis, don't forget about your tea on August the 16th. There are a few spaces left. And then on the 21st, the following Thursday, you start your Bible studies morning and evening. Don't forget, men, the Forge, Tuesday morning, 6:30. And then we also have a men's group that meets on Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Again, a great time to get together with other men and other women from the Oasis Church. If I had to put a title to 1 Corinthians 2, I think it would be "The God Behind It All." And we've certainly sung about him tonight, the Holy Spirit, but that's what we're going to talk about, the God behind it all. But before we get into chapter 2, let's again start with 1 Corinthians 3:1, because 1 Corinthians 3:1 is to me the verse that unlocks why Paul addressed the Corinthians the way he did and why he had to deal with the subject matter that he's going to deal with throughout this great letter. He says to them in 1 Corinthians 3:1, "So brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but instead as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ." So a couple things. First of all, it is a great reminder to us that a person can be saved, a person can possess the Spirit, and have the Holy Spirit living inside of them and still not be a spiritual person. Think about that. Pretty incredible. That just because one possesses the Holy Spirit does not automatically mean one is a spiritual person. We must learn to partner with the Holy Spirit. We must learn to walk in the Spirit. We must learn to live in the Spirit, you see. And until we do that, we are going to be just as prone, like the Corinthians, to allowing our culture and the world around us to shape us as much as Christ and the Holy Spirit and His Word shapes us. So it's something that we all have to be careful of. And one of the things that Paul has already talked to them about in 1 Corinthians 1 that he introduced was the fact that their ministry within the church and their life even as Christ's representatives outside of the church was more about human wisdom and human power than it was God's power and God's wisdom. And so Paul is really going to zero in on that tonight. And he begins in chapter 2 by sharing his own ministry and by using himself as an example to the Corinthians because they knew him. Remember, he started this church. He planted this church. He pastored this church for about 18 months before he left to go to Ephesus. And so they know him. And so he says in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, "You know that when I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with superior eloquence or wisdom as I proclaimed the testimony of God." He's saying, the message of God doesn't need embellishment. The ministry that we perform for God does not need embellishment. You see, the means by which we do life in ministry doesn't need embellishment. God can get lost in all of the fluff. It's something we all have to be careful of. It's something every church has to be careful of. It's why we need to make sure that we never lose the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. And Paul says the same thing. Notice he says, "I decided," verse 2, "to be concerned about nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I centered my message on Christ. I centered my ministry on Christ. All I cared about was exalting Christ, lifting Christ up, focusing on Christ. And notice a key word here in verse 2 is the word decided. He was decisive about this. He was determined about this. Every one of us as Christians, we have a choice to make every day. What or who is going to be the center of our life and ministry? Who's it going to revolve around? Who's it going to focus on? Who's it going to be about? And remember, the Corinthians, part of their problem was pride. A pride that was not only divisive, but a pride that was stirring within the Corinthian church, this celebrity, you know, performance, popularity, a type of atmosphere where they were glorying in each other and in human beings rather than in glorying in the Lord. And Paul says, when I came to you, I made sure that the focus was on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You and I, if we're going to stay focused in our Christian life, there's got to be some decisiveness and some determination. We've got to get up every day and, like Paul, say, I have determined this is what my life is going to be like. This day, this week, this month, this year. As you hear Paul say throughout his letters in the New Testament, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark. I mean, he is a very decisive, determined, and focused man. And you and I, if we're going to stay focused, because again, there's so much distraction, there's so many things that can pull us away from Christ Jesus, that we need to make sure that we are continually determined, like Paul, to make that decision that I will be concerned about nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because that's where the power of God is, as we saw. God has put His power into the gospel, into the message of the cross, as we learned in chapter 1. Notice, though, Paul in verse 3 says, and I hope this will be an encouragement to you as it is to me as we live and as we serve for the Lord. When I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. Don't try to hide your humanity. Don't try to hide your weakness. Don't try to hide your feebleness and frailty. Because when you and I try to not be human, then God is not seen. You see, when we try to do it in our own power, in our own wisdom, in our own strength, then God gets lost. We need to be like Paul. And I can tell you, every Wednesday and every Sunday, even after 41 years, I feel very weak, fearful, and trembling before I come out and share God's word. I feel very inadequate, and I ask the Lord, please, Lord, help me, enable me. Do not let me be a hindrance into what you want to do. But it's okay to feel that way, because we all should. We all shouldn't try to hide our humanity, hide our weakness, hide our fear, hide our trembling, but let God work through it. Amen. So that He can be seen. That's why Paul in verse 4 says, my conversation or my message and my preaching, my method, were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul says, I wanted my ministry when I was with you to have the fingerprints of God all over it. I didn't want it to be about what the great apostle Paul could do. And listen, we all know, if you know the pedigree of Paul, you know he was schooled in all the great schools. As far as theology degrees would go, he had them all. He knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand, you know. He had all this knowledge and everything. On a human level, he could have went there. But then God would have been lost. And you and I have to make sure that when we are living out our life out there in the world, even within our own home, to our family, and when we are ministering and serving for the Lord, that it's not a demonstration of our human power and of what we can do humanly, but what God and God alone can do. Amen. A demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And so Paul is saying, this is missing in the church at Corinth. Because you all are focused on human strength and human power and human capability and human skill and human abilities and gifts and talents. You've got to let them fade into the background and let your ministry and your service be what God can do. So that, verse 5, here's the purpose of it all. That so that your faith would not be based on human wisdom or human power, but on the power of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say something that may seem radical. When any of us as Christians serve the Lord or minister in our own power and strength, no matter how great we do it or how great it is, it will be a detriment to our fellow believers in serving the Lord. For this reason, because they're watching us do what we can do humanly, and they're sitting back there going, I could never do that. That's beyond my capability or ability. And so we actually, whether we are conscious of it or not, aware of it or not, we actually discourage Christian service by doing things in our own power and strength. See, where Paul's coming from is when you and I as Christians do things in the church, in the power of the Spirit, every believer has the power of the Spirit. So then every believer can see some other Christian up there doing even something unbelievable, supernatural, and go, you know what? I've got the same Holy Spirit that they've got, which means that I could do that and maybe even more. And it would actually be an encouragement to them because they're looking going, well, that's not them up there doing that. That's the Spirit, and I have the Spirit too. In fact, that's one of the things that Paul's trying to get across to the Corinthians. Is that through the Spirit, every believer possesses the power of God and the wisdom of God. It's just, but is it sitting dormant? Because we're not connected to and locked into, tuned into the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, surrendered to the Spirit and letting Him do what only He can do. And again, yeah, there's always that struggle. You know, like the little child, let me do, Daddy, me do. God's like, well, you're my vessel and you're my instrument, but let me do it. I can do so much more. I love verse 5. I mean, it's just so that our faith would not be based on anything human, but on the power of God and the demonstration of the Spirit, verse 4. That's what it should be based on. Because then that means that every one of us has that capability. Now again, God doesn't call all of us to the same ministry or to the same service, but we all have the same Spirit. Therefore, we all are capable of doing supernatural things through the Spirit. He's the God behind it all. That's what Paul's really saying. He's saying, here's the sad thing about the church at Corinth. You all are, you know, the church is full. You all came to Christ. You rejected, you know, the world in embracing Jesus Christ as your Savior. You received the Holy Spirit, but now you're doing church like a bunch of humans. When you've got the Holy Spirit of God living in you, and there could be so much more going on and happening and everything. If you just let the Spirit come in there and take control of your lives and take control of your church and just, in a sense, take over. Can I tell you, this is where God wants to take us. Not that the Spirit isn't here and isn't working and isn't moving and we're not, but he wants to take us further. He wants to take us further. And then from verse 6 through verse 16, Paul wants to focus on the wisdom of God. Because he's talked about the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and about the power of God, in a sense, in the first 5 verses, even using himself as an example. That if you saw anything in me, Paul said, it wasn't my power, it was the power of God. Remember, there's even that description of Paul in the Bible where people looked at him physically and go, that's Paul? Because, you know, Paul in his letters comes across like this, you know, giant of a man. And yet he was this little bald-headed guy that sort of just, you know, short, you know, not tall in stature, nothing physically imposing about Paul. But man, when he got up to preach, it was like, you know, because why? Because it was the Spirit of God that took over Paul. And I love, just absolutely love to see and benefit and am blessed whenever I can be around Christians that I know that's not them, that's just them letting the Spirit of God just do what only the Spirit of God can do. But they're a willing, available vessel. So beginning in verse 6, Paul says, we don't speak wisdom, or we do speak wisdom among the mature, which isn't that interesting because he's already said, but you're not spiritual people. So I think he's in some way saying, you need to start growing so that you understand things that only spiritual people and maturing people can understand. Not a wisdom of this age, because then he even says, you all are very prideful about your human wisdom, but know this, the rulers of this age who are perishing, if they really had wisdom, they would have never crucified, verse 8, the Lord of glory. But they did not understand who he was. Why? Because they were looking at Jesus from a human wisdom perspective and point of view, not through the help of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God. So they got Jesus wrong. The rulers of this world. So Corinthians, get down off of your, you know, high pedestal there and humble yourselves. Maybe you're not as wise as you think you are. And now he's going to tell them, here's how you and I possess the wisdom of God. And it's all about the God who's behind it all. It's all about understanding the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. 3 things you're going to see in the rest of this chapter. Revelation, instruction, and illumination, all done by the Holy Spirit of God. Notice verse 9. Just as it is written, things that no eye has seen or ear heard or mind imagined are the things that God had prepared for those who love him. When I was growing up in my first church as a child, this verse was taught that this was talking about heaven. Folks, this is not talking about heaven. This is talking about the Word of God. God is saying, I've got so many unbelievable things in my Word, and I want you to understand them and grasp them and be aware of them. But the only way you can do that is to allow the Spirit of God, first of all, to reveal them to you. So then he says, verse 10, God has revealed these to us by the Spirit. Are we coming to the Word of God, letting God open up our eyes to things that we have never seen, heard, imagined, and the things that God has prepared for us that he will continue to reveal to us? But are we letting the Spirit of God reveal these things? Or are we trying to gain insight, understanding, and knowledge on our own, apart from the Spirit? This is why sometimes many Christians, many well-meaning, sincere Christians, struggle, because they come to the Word of God and they'll even, you know, maybe even come to me or some other Christian and say, Pastor Jeff, I want to know what this book says, but I'm having a really hard time understanding it. And usually if I know that there's fruit there, that that person truly has accepted Christ as their Savior, I immediately take them here and say, all you need to do is just start asking the Holy Spirit to help and to reveal to you and to enable you to see the things that God has for you in His Word every day as you get into it. But you've got to let the Spirit reveal these things. Don't try to see them on your own, because we'll miss it just as the rulers of this age miss Jesus and His true identity. Notice, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Why? Well, He's God. So there's nothing about God that the Spirit doesn't know, because He's equal to the Son, equal to the Father. And then Paul uses an illustration. How can we as human beings really know what it means to be a human being? Well, because we are one. And yet, I'm not a dog. And I love dogs. Don't have one at this point. Don't plan on getting one anytime soon, so don't you all be trying to give me one. But I love dogs, and I'll look at them every once in a while, and I'll go, what are you thinking? Because the dog's just sitting there looking at me, and I just wonder, what's going through your little brain? And I can't. I there's no way. Why? I don't have the spirit of the dog. If I did, I could understand to a degree what's going on there. So Paul's saying, the reason we have at least a general understanding of all human beings is because we're a human being. We all share a spirit of being human. Paul's saying, the Spirit of God, being God, knows everything about God. So if you want to get to know God, allow the Spirit of God to reveal these things to you. He says, so too, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Oh, that we could just grab a hold of that and go, why am I trying to understand God and gain greater knowledge of God and a greater depth with God apart from the Spirit? I can't do it. Revelation, God has revealed this to us by the Spirit. That's a key verse, beginning of verse 10. So mark that in your Bible if you're a Bible marker, like Revelation. But then we come to verse 12, instruction. Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things that are, notice, freely given to us by God. What a God. I don't have to pay for this knowledge. Man, the money that we all put into college and stuff to know stuff. And the greatest knowledge of all is free. The greatest knowledge of all is free by God's grace. And we speak about these things not with words taught us by human wisdom, but with those, here it is, taught by the Spirit. There it is, instruction. We learn the wisdom of God because we allow the Spirit to reveal these things to us. We learn the wisdom of God because we let the Spirit of God be our teacher. And even when the Lord uses a human being like myself to teach or preach His Word, it is still the Spirit that gives all of us understanding. It's not Jeff Royce. I got nothing, but the Spirit has everything and knows the deep things of God. And notice what Paul goes on to say. We speak about these things, verse 13, not with words taught us by human wisdom, but with those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Now remember chapter 3, verse 1? I couldn't speak to you as spiritual people. Well, they're saved. They've got the Spirit. Yeah, but they're not using the Spirit. They're not relying on the Spirit. They're not depending on the Spirit. They're not walking in the Spirit. They're not living. They're not asking the Spirit for help. They're not allowing in Corinth the Spirit of God, who wants to reveal things and wants to teach them things, to do it. They're relying on their human wisdom. And, you know, culturally, historically, you understand, you know, Corinth, the Greeks were all about, you know, wisdom and all of that, the philosophers, the sophists, all of that. You know, it was, and that's why their culture was influencing the church more than Christ, the Spirit, and His Word were. And that's where Paul goes, you got to be rewired. We got to tear all this wiring out, and we got to start rewiring you from the ground up. And then illumination, the final ministry and work of the Holy Spirit, verses 14 through 16. And the great verses. First of all, he says, the unbeliever does not receive, accept, welcome the things of the Spirit of God for their foolishness. That's where we are reminded about the pre-salvational work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. The Holy Spirit even has to be working in and on an unbeliever even to bring them to the point of salvation. You see. And then, and he cannot understand them, verse 14, because they are spiritually discerned. Let's talk about the word understand, and you're going to see why I even used the apple at the beginning of the service this evening. The word understand speaks about a knowledge that is gained firsthand through a relationship. Well, if an unbeliever doesn't even have a relationship with God, then they can't. Listen, can an unbeliever even, you know, read the pages of the Bible and in a sense intellectually understand what the Bible is saying to a point? Absolutely. That knowledge and that understanding is not a relational understanding and knowledge. It is not an understanding and knowledge that's really going to bring them near or close to God in any respect. It is, again, a knowledge about God, but not the knowledge of God through this firsthand, relational, experiential, intimate type of thing. And then he goes on to say, because they are spiritually, that just simply means with the help of the Spirit. That's all they needed. How can I be a spiritual person? Just let the Holy Spirit help you. It's not like, oh, the only spiritual people are those who are practically perfect and never sin and, you know, seem, you know, holy and no. A spiritual person biblically is just someone who allows the Spirit of God to help them, to reveal things to them, to teach them, to illuminate them. Because the word discerned means illuminated. They are, with the help of the Spirit, are illuminated. And then he goes on in verse 15 to say, the one who then is spiritual, again, with the help of the Spirit, discerns all things, has their eyes open in order to what? See. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. It's not through a distance, it's through an up close, intimate, firsthand, personal, experiential relationship with God. That's where I get it from. And the Spirit then can begin to reveal and teach and illuminate our minds and our hearts to things that's like, and this is why, and I've heard some of you say the same thing that you've heard me probably say, I've read that I don't know how many times that I didn't see it. And now all of a sudden I read it and it's like, whoa, it jumped off. Guess who jumped that off the page? The Holy Spirit. Or, man, I've struggled to understand that particular passage or verse or whatever. And then one day I sat down and I asked the Spirit to help me. And all of a sudden I might not have had this, you know, great understanding to where I would have felt comfortable maybe teaching on it, but man, I walked away from there with a much clearer grasp of what God intended to say to me than I ever had before. Thank the Spirit, because that's who's doing it. The Spirit of God is illuminating and helping us to see things because we're willing to taste and see. Now, Paul does say to the Corinthians, yet he himself, verse 15, is understood by no one. What's that mean? Well, it simply means, again, what's going on is internal, not external. So they can't, like, see the Spirit of God helping us or enabling us to do what we're doing. It's all internal. It's all invisible, if you will. It's behind the scenes. It's the God who's behind it all that does it all, the Spirit of God. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to advise him? And then this phrase just blows me away. But we have the mind of Christ. What? Yeah. When we as spiritual people, with the help of the Spirit, allow the Spirit of God to reveal things to us, to teach us, and to illuminate our minds and our hearts, to open our eyes, to see the things that no eye up to this point could see or ear hear or mind imagine, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, we have the mind of Christ. We then can see things the way Jesus sees things. We then begin to have, through the Spirit rewiring our minds and hearts, a perspective that Jesus Christ has. The view, if you will, that Jesus Christ has. But that perspective, that mind of Christ, again, can only begin to be developed when, again, we allow the Spirit of God to do the revealing, to do the teaching, and to do the illuminating. So once again, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, your ministry there in Corinth, that church, the level of that could be so much greater and so much higher than it is. Because right now, you're just doing things on a human level. You're trying to figure things out on your own. And you're trying to do the ministry and service of the church in your own power and strength. Paul is basically challenging them and saying to them, what would your church in Corinth look like if every last member of that church began to allow the Spirit of God to give them the wisdom of God? And then for their service and ministry, instead of being a demonstration of human strength, and human ability, and human skill, and human talent, it could be a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Whoa, what would that church look like? And I think God is saying the same thing to us, to make sure that our life and ministry has the fingerprints of God all over it. I'll leave you with this thought. At the end of verse 16, spiritual vision is greater than intellectual brilliance. Spiritual vision is greater than intellectual brilliance. The world always has, you know, applauded and put up on a pedestal the brains of the world. But many of those brainy people, men and women, did not have the knowledge of God. And I'll just tell you from my perspective, I'd rather have an IQ of 0.5 and know God than to have an IQ of 130 and not know God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for Lord, the Apostle Paul, sharing his heart with a people that he loves, with a church that he loves. And he wants this church, this group, this community of believers to thrive. But God, right now, they're doing so much of their life and ministry on a human level rather than a spiritual, supernatural level. And all of us, Lord, need to be reminded of that. Lord, may our life and ministry, both at the Oasis Church and through the Oasis Church, and even our individual personal lives, be more about you than it ever is about us. May it be a demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God. And may it be a demonstration of the wisdom of God more than anything else. Because, Lord, you deserve the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.